We are actually down to 68 degrees, still a very pleasant Saturday evening, 7-Eleven in the Twin Cities. Well, our next guest is somebody that you know well, WCCO radio listeners. Roshini Rajkumar can be heard every Sunday here with news and views. And you may have heard the promos because they are on for her new podcast, which is a podcast. It's a whole new world out there. It's not brand new, but it's really cool because you can really kind of delve into topics. And Roshini has her own podcast on leadership. So Roshini, welcome and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Esme. I always love talking about the podcast. It has been one of the best things I've done in a long while. And it's just brought me a lot of joy, and we're getting a lot of great feedback about it.
Well, the show News and Views is so good. I mean, you should listen to it on Sunday afternoons with Roshini. But I love, you know, I was talking earlier with Sloan Martin, who just got the big job as the voice of the Minnesota Lynx. I love hearing stories about how people kind of branch out and go in a different direction. I mean, what gave you the idea for a podcast? And for those of you, I mean, your background is really extraordinary. You started out, you know, being a reporter and an anchor for, you know, TV, and you were very good at that. But you were like, hey, I'm going to go in my own direction. I'm going to form my own company. I mean, I always think those people who do that are really gutsy. And then you decided, well, I think I'll stick my hand into radio. And then you've got the podcast. Tell us a bit about that journey, because I think people love hearing those stories.
Thanks, Esme. Well, some may call it gutsy, others may call it crazy.
But you've been so successful. I mean, it's really cool.
You know, and everything I did in TV, about a decade-long career on air in TV in different markets, including Minneapolis, and my last TV news market was Detroit. And I left that 13 years ago to move back home to Minneapolis to start my business. And I do executive coaching and professional speaking all over the country. But I fell in love with talk radio, Esme, when I was in TV, just like you. I mean, you're on TV and the radio every day, but when I was in TV, or every week, when I was in TV, our sister stations in the different markets would ask me to come on and promote my sweeps pieces or fill in for their morning show. And I just fell in love with the medium that is radio. It's so intimate. It's so amazing. So when I started my business in 2006, it was really in my business plan to have a radio show one day. I did not know how exactly that was going to happen, and I'm so glad it happened in August of 2012 with my Sunday show. And then, you know, this whole concept of the podcast, and they are growing, and they're really becoming the biggest exponential growth for audio on demand right now. And so even though podcasts don't have as large of an audience as radio, the growth is bigger than any other medium out there. And as a business person, these 13 years of being a business owner, I've also understood the different things that drive those people out in the business world, whether it's to hire me or the different things they're looking at for their people. And we're finding that traditional media is taking a little bit of a second seat to some of the audio on demand. You know, it's people's schedules. They can't always be home for the 6 o'clock news to watch you on Channel 4, Esme. But luckily, they can watch you later online, you know, things like that,
right,
or listen to you on the radio. So this whole podcast started kind of brewing in me last year. And some of it came from the Minnesota Twins getting on our air. And, you know, you and I both have been preempted by Twins games and wanting to give my appointment listeners who are used to listening to me every Sunday from 12 to 3, wanting to give them something in replacement during the Twins season when they don't hear me. That's right. Kind of how it started.
And there are a lot of Twins games on. We love the Twins. There are a lot of Twins games on Sunday afternoons.
There are. And in fact, tomorrow I wasn't going to have a show, but I found out earlier today I do have a show tomorrow from 12 to 2 because the Twins changed their game time. So that was...
Wow, Roshini.
Getting those guests together.
That's another conversation. Tune into Roshini. I'm sure you'll nail it.
So thank you. You're so kind. So what we did, and our program director, John Hansen, has been instrumentally supportive in this. He said to me in January, when do you want to launch this podcast this year? And I said, well, my first preempted show is February 24th. Let's launch it then. It will come out every Sunday, which would be like when my normal show is on. But the beauty of online is it comes online and you can go get it whenever you want it.
Right.
So this Sunday, you will hear Darrell Thompson, former NFL player, Green Bay Packer, current CEO of Boulder Options. He is my episode 11. So this thing is only almost 3 months old. It is a new podcast, and it is called Real Leaders with Rashini, but I think of it more as an inspirational and a lifestyle podcast, even more than a leadership podcast. It's highly curated, as Nate, 15 to 20 minutes each episode. You are going to get leaders from all different industries, from former Super Bowl champions like Greg Jennings and his wife, Nicole, who now has a fashion store, Queen Anna House of Fashion in the North Loop, to former Minnesota Twin Corey Koski, to Rolf Nordstrom, who is the CEO of Great Plains Institute, who's working on energy issues and the energy grid day in and day out. You're going to get a snapshot into their lives, things that have been trials and tribulations for them, as well as successes. Hopefully you're inspired. I have been inspired by all these leaders.
Well, see, I really enjoy, and I think the thing that's so great about it is you're focusing on these individuals. I love sort of the backstories. Like, I love hearing, you know, people thought I was crazy and I thought I was going to take this jump into this, and I thought I was going to have a radio show. I mean, I think people are so fascinated by how people make those deal with uncertainties and deal with trying to mold their careers or mold their successes and how they deal with things. I mean, I think people are really interested to learn that and to hear it. And I think your podcast is a perfect avenue for that, because you get these stories and you get the backstory. Yeah, which is great.
People are comfortable sharing it. And I have to tell you, you know, my background in television and being a broadcaster for going on 24 years, all of it led to this day to be able to do the podcast the way I'm doing it, right? Because I don't think I could get some of the leaders I'm getting if I didn't already have this radio show on WCCO Radio for almost 7 years, and leaders are used to either coming on or getting pitched by their PR people, and so they trust me. And then the other really cool element of this podcast is we tape it at Capitol Grill in the wine room in downtown Minneapolis. So it's a whole different
Rashini Rajkumar is a really smart lady, okay? I'm just going to tell you.
Well, you have to be a guest. Like, I think we're going to turn the tables on you. You're going to have to come on and be a guest with me. So one of your colleagues, our friend Heather Brown, has honored me by telling me that she listens to my podcast on her runs, on her morning runs. And it's very digestible because they're 15 to 20 minutes each. That's about it. They max out at 20 minutes. So you can easily binge listen to them if you're not listening every week. My husband subscribes, and he listens every Monday, and then I get text messages about his report on that week's podcast. So it's really, really fun. And the other thing is I've gotten some really nice messages from the featured people, in that they will drop me a line and say, you know, thank you for that. I never get asked these kinds of questions. But my whole life as a, you know, past TV reporter and then talk show host led to this, because there is just something so beautiful about the interview. Even when I was in TV, the favorite part of my day was when I would be one-on-one doing those interviews and bringing things out of people. And then in my radio show, some of my favorite interviews are those high-profile leaders and icons and bringing out certain elements and unique elements in them. And that's what the podcast is. It's just that. It's those high-profile movers and shakers. We just have some great people coming up. I'm getting set to do my May taping on Tuesday morning. I'll tape 5 episodes in one day, and then those will dole out every week. One of those people is Libby Larson. She's a U of M grad. She's a worldwide known composer. She's been composing for 50 years, and I'm honored that she's going to join me in Capitol Grill in the wine room and talk about what makes her tick, and also talk about why Mr. Spock is one of her inspirations. I can't wait to get into that.
But see, I think that's the kind of thing that people love, because, like, let's say you were in a TV interview and you're focusing, you'd probably focus on just, you know, what she's doing or whatever, but you don't. I think those are the things that are so intriguing and so interesting. And this is a forum where you can do that, and you can let it breathe.
Can let it breathe. And I always say to them, we're not going to be time sensitive here. I'm not going to talk about your next event or your next movie or whatever it is. I want this to be relevant. If someone tunes in for the first time in 3 years, I want the conversation to be inspirational even then. And it's also fun, Esme. I ask people, I mean, we're in Capitol Grill, So I asked people, if you were a cocktail or a drink, what would you be? And Angelina Lawton, who's CEO of Sports
Business. Oh, sure.
She's a rock star. She's married to Brian Lawton, former NHL player. She was my debut episode, and she is amazing.
That's a good debut episode.
Oh, my God. Kick-ass debut episode. Yeah. And you know what she'd be? A margarita.
Little, I believe that, yes.
Salty, little sweet. And just to be able to ask them that question, and they go there with me. And, you know, I hope people are inspired. That's really my intent. It's just, it's the inspiration. And I am so blessed that I'm in a position that I can get some of these leaders. And now we're at the point, Esme, where they and their PR people
are coming to you.
And they want to come on. We are booking into September. That's how popular people want to be on it, because they kind of want to share this stuff, and it's not live.
Yeah.
So if they truly do blunder, I mean, but these are really unedited conversations. We have yet, the digital team, Jared, Dan, and I have yet to edit anything out.
Right. And the thing is, they can always be accessed. You know, that's the really cool thing. I mean, that's the cool thing about on demand. I want to let people know where they can find you, because some people might, you know, some people are up on podcasts and like that. And it's so accessible. You can access it, you know, when you're running, you can access it if you're, you know, cooking dinner. But it's WCCOradio.com/real leaders.
That's the easiest way online. And then if you have apps, it's on the radio.com app. It's on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Some people have just a podcast app. You can search it under Real Leaders with Brashini. You'll find it, and I would love it if you subscribe, because then it just shows up on your phone, you know? And it's just so easy, and it's really been fun, because I've got 17-year-olds who I'm getting emails from that they're listening, and I have 70-year-olds that are telling me this is really great. And that is just, I'm so honored by it, and I'm really, really excited that people share their stories. I mean, we talked Jesus with Corey Koski. I found out why Nicole and Greg Jennings' family on family trips avoid countries that have iguanas. That was one of the most hilarious moments that I've had on the podcast thus far. I hope that is a good teaser. And I want to give a good teaser to Daryl Thompson, because his goes up tomorrow. And he is a huge fan of his wife, but he shared some tips on how you find a spouse and why a lot of it is like horse breeding.
Wow.
Kentucky Derby Day. Yes, you're going to have to listen to his words, because I can't do that justice.
Okay. All right. The one and only Roshini Rajkumar. And again, you obviously can hear her, and you'll hear her tomorrow. She is on tomorrow, 12
tomorrow.
To 2. For news and views, but also go to WCCORadio.com/real leaders to get her podcast. Thank you so much, Roshini, for your time tonight.
And Esme, I hope we can get you on the podcast very soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That'd be
All
great.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, my friend.
Okay, take care. All right, Roshini Rajkumar, very, very cool, very forward thinking and gutsy. You know, I mean, you know, I know so many people in the broadcast business, and they're kind of like, you know, I'd love to start my own business. And most of us don't do it. And Roshini did, and it's been a huge success. So kudos to her. And obviously, this is very successful as well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the downtown scene with producer Devin Marshall. It is a country storm in downtown Minneapolis as Garth Brooks once again rules downtown Minneapolis. That, of course, is the one and only Garth Brooks, who has a concert tonight. He also had one last night. Our producer, Devin Marshall, actually had a promotions booth for some of our other sister stations. And sounds like that was great. But I mean, the energy downtown is amazing. When I came in this evening, everybody wearing the cowboy hats. There were people partying in the streets. I mean, it's like a holiday.
Cowboy boots, flannels.
Right.
All of it.
Right. And it's just amazing. And Garth Brooks actually added a show after the governor of Minnesota, the then governor of Minnesota, Mark Dayton, said, you got to add another show.
Yep.
And he did.
Actually requested.
I mean, that is so cool. There's so much enthusiasm around him. And then also, I thought it was really cool. I'd love to, you know, hear how it went. His wife, Trisha Yearwood, had a tailgate party.
Yep.
And that sounds so cool, because she is now somebody who has her own cooking show.
Oh, and, does she?
Yes, she does.
Oh,
and she's really charismatic. But I saw, you know, one of our one of my fellow anchors and reporters over WCCO Radio. Suddenly, I looked up. I was kind of, cleaning the kitchen and looked up yesterday, and there's Jennifer Merrily sitting there on the couch with Trisha Yearwood interviewing her for our 6 o'clock news yesterday. And I was like, that's pretty cool. But it really is amazing. And there was a little some sound with Garth Brooks. He was saying how amazing this market is for him.
Yeah, I know Minnesota is actually a good country market, which kind of surprises me. But I think especially summertime when you get out on the lake,
right,
and the weather, people, just put on country and go crazy. But speaking of that tailgate, it's called Trisha's Tailgate Party,
right.
I think, and it's right on U.S. Bank Plaza. And it's like three big tents, and it's got cool like rope lights.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It's really nice. And it looks like I don't know how much you pay to get in, but it looks like whatever you pay, you're getting your money's worth.
Right. I mean, but it was, the hotel, I park in a parking ramp, near a hotel, and the hotel lobby's jammed, and everybody's just rocking out to Garth Brooks. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So doing promotions for our sister stations, and even WCCO got in on this. There's a fairly new place right down the street called Finnegan's.
And oh, okay. I've heard it's
supposed
to be really
cool.
Good. Yeah.
I had never really even heard of it till yesterday. I went there to help Joe Jonkis set up some stuff because Paul and Jordana did their show from there yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
And so you go in there. It's a brewery. They brew their own beer. And then there's a hotel next door that they partner with. The hotel does the food. Supposedly they have great pizza, pasta. But it's just a really cool vibe. They have a patio out there. They had live music, which especially today, the weather has been perfect.
The weather's today, can we just bottle it? It's been so lousy.
Right. Even yesterday, there was a few raindrops for a little bit, and it was a little windy at some points. But even, you'll take 60 and windy over the -20.
Yeah, I have, like this fall, I got like a super, super warm down coat that goes almost to my ankles. I absolutely love it from Land's End. And then I've got this lighter down coat that I wore for, a few winters. It wasn't enough. But I actually got it at Costco. It's great. It smushes up. You can pack it. I'm like wearing it. I'm still wearing it this past week because it was so cold.
Yeah, I still keep my winter coats in my car just in case. Because
right.
You never know. It could be the forecast could be 60 and sunny, and then 2 days before whatever day it's
absolutely
supposed to be 30. But so really quick, we threw parties all around the city. And it's amazing because I just walk around and I was telling coworkers, I'm like, I can't imagine what it would be like to be Garth Brooks, where they're shutting down streets for you. There's people all over waiting just to see you. The governor is requesting another show for you.
Right.
Darius Rucker.
And he seems like a really cool.
Yeah.
You're saying Darius Rucker, who I love too.
And his big star in his own right is actually opening for Garth Brooks tonight.
That would be a really great show.
Oh, my gosh. And so I'm walking around. All these people are waiting to see him. They're shutting down streets. The weather's perfect. And I don't know. We had out at Eric the Red a DJ. People are showing up hours in advance. But I keep hearing all these amazing facts about Garth Brooks where I think he's the country's all-time he sold the most records in country. He sold like 160 million records.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. And then a lot of me, I'm a country fan, not the biggest country fan. But for me, he's one of those guys that you know a bunch of his songs, but you don't know it's him until all of a sudden they're playing a Garth Brooks song. You're like, oh, I didn't know this was his song. But, he's outsold Pink Floyd. I'm just looking on
it's
here.
Amazing,
Rolling Stones.
Cool.
It's just
very cool.
Yeah, it's very,
fun
atmosphere.
I hope everybody has a fabulous time. Well, listen, folks, we have to take a break. We're going to give you some weather. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Frank Rame, Dr. Frank Rame. He's an Allina Health Clinic infectious disease specialist. The latest on measles, this is continuing. This is a real problem. And a lot of people are getting concerned. So we're going to visit with him after the break, after the weather. So keep it here. You're listening to News Talk 830. Hey there, folks. It is 7:35 in the Twin Cities. Hope you're having a great Saturday evening. Esme Murphy with you until 9 o'clock in our 8 o'clock hour. I'll be chatting with my friend Professor David Schultz on politics. But right now we are going to visit with a leading infectious disease specialist, Dr. Frank Rehm, about the outbreak of measles that seems to be getting worse. Dr. Rehm is with the Allina Health Clinic. He is an infectious disease specialist, and he is joining us right now. Dr. Rehm, thank you so much for coming on.
It's a delight to talk to you again, Esme.
Absolutely. All right. We keep hearing about this. There are new outbreaks. I mean, how bad is this?
Well, it's pretty bad, actually. I think there's been focus on the number of cases. It was 704 at the last week's update. The CDC updates this on Monday, so we'll get a new number on Monday. But what's more important to me is that there are actually 9 separate outbreaks underway. So it's not just the number of cases. This is all one outbreak in one place. It wouldn't worry me quite as much. But we've got 9 separate outbreaks underway in the country.
And how contagious is measles?
So it's extremely contagious if you if you're not immune, if you haven't been vaccinated or haven't had the disease. So in household context, for instance, if somebody in your household has it, there's more than a 90% chance you'll get it. So sometimes the things can be very subtle. So that woman in California who watched the movie on her first day of measles, Lord knows how many people are going to get it from that, because it could be quite a few.
All right. So this woman on her first day, and she wasn't because you can have measles and not be aware of it yet.
Well, she was sick, but she didn't recognize the measles. It's not very characteristic until you get the rash. So it sort of seems like a cold until you get the rash.
And in terms of you know, the exposure, it's as you mentioned, you know, it's so contagious. Somebody sitting in a movie theater, presumably most of the people or many of the people in the movie theater, we hope, have been vaccinated. I've seen some things about vaccinations and the date 1960. What is the status? I mean, I know that most people who are listening now probably have been vaccinated, but they probably obviously don't remember because you're obviously very young. They may have been at a time when you didn't get like the booster, all of that. What is the status of the measles vaccine and in terms of, you know, the way it people have gotten it over the past few decades?
So for most adults, one dose is enough per lifetime, but there are these exceptions. And that's one of them. There was a killed vaccine in use in the late 60s, and it's characteristic of killed vaccines that the immunity doesn't last as long, and so their immunity has waned too much from that vaccine. So if you were vaccinated in the 60s and you don't know what vaccine you got, or you know you got one of these killed vaccines, then you should get a second dose. The other people who should get a second dose, the adults who should get a second dose, are people who live in a household with someone who has immunosuppression, because it's particularly important not to expose them. We do it also for overseas travel, so I don't know the story in the California one, but as a guess, she did have overseas travel, either didn't see a travel clinic or they didn't advise a second dose. So we do try to get there's a lot of measles overseas. We do try to get people, adults, to get that second dose if they're going to go overseas. We do it with college students. We do it with healthcare workers. So there are these special cases where a second dose for adults is worthwhile.
Okay.
There's no recommendation for a third dose.
Because the woman who was in the movie theater, I believe she had been vaccinated, right?
I don't know that detail.
Okay.
She may, but my guess is that she didn't have two doses and did go overseas and should have had two doses.
Okay, all right. Let's go back to what you said about people who were vaccinated in the 1960s, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who are listening who may have been vaccinated in the 60s, but obviously their parents have passed away. They're really not they don't remember it. They're not sure. What was the protocol? How old were people when they were vaccinated in the 60s for the most part?
So I wish I could get this exactly right. I'm not going to get it exactly right, but so we basically presume that people born before 57 had natural illness. And thereafter, we started vaccinating people. About 1981, I believe, we first started vaccinating people. And it became clear that a second dose was worthwhile. I'm going to guess, I don't know, it probably was around 1960, a second dose. So these kids or these people, they were probably kids then, got a second dose of this killed vaccine, and it just didn't last long enough. So it wasn't as good as the live
right.
ones that we use now. Nowadays, almost all kids get two in childhood. They get one at 12 months and at 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
And they're in good shape.
And it, back in the 60s, were they vaccinating kids when they were 12 months old, or did they wait until they were a little older?
I think the first dose has pretty much always been given around 12 months. You can give it earlier, but there's enough maternal antibody around that it doesn't quite produce as good a result. We do recommend, actually, if a six-month-old is going to go overseas, we do give the vaccine, but then we give them two doses after they're 12.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Because, I mean, that you know, one of the many, many questions here is, what if you do have a baby, you know, a baby that is younger than 12 months old? What should you do? How concerned should you be?
So if you're not going overseas, or you're not in one of these communities that's having an outbreak, then basically just wait till they're 12 months old. But if you are going overseas, or if you're in one of these communities and you have a 6 month old, that 6 month old should be vaccinated.
And what should somebody do with a child that's younger than 6 months? I mean, do you not go outside? I mean, that one's got to be very scary. I'd be terrified if I was, you know, a new mother with a baby that young.
So as you may know, mother's antibodies pass the placenta to the baby. So through about 6 months, they've got enough maternal antibody in them, circulating in them, to be protective.
Okay, so that's still good enough, and then you actually are recommending it for people who go overseas. Let me ask you about one of the scenarios that you presented to me, that you might want to look at a booster if you live with somebody who has a suppressed immune system. Explain that one for me again.
So one of the really sad things about the anti-vax movement is they're putting these people at real jeopardy. Because if you get a case of measles and you've had one dose and you didn't get the second dose, you may get measles. It's only 95% effective, but it won't be that bad, the measles. But there are kids who have genuine medical exceptions, kids who have very immunosuppressing conditions. We do not give them the vaccine. That's a live vaccine. We worry about vaccine strain illness in them.
So there are some children, some people who have not been given vaccines because of their medical history and their medical conditions.
Exactly. So
this
there
is
are
too dangerous.
Medical reasons for not getting vaccinated. But those kids are super vulnerable because not only are they not vaccinated, but they have a weakened immune system in the first place. So when one of those kids gets measles, they're in big jeopardy. So you really don't want, if you have a kid in your household that could not get vaccinated because of a medical exemption because they shouldn't get vaccinated, then you really, really, really want to not give them measles. And so that second dose in an adult in that situation is definitely worthwhile.
Right, and should you go to your doctor and ask them?
Absolutely. So that's a very good point, because I don't think many docs are going to be taking the time to ask, is there somebody in your household that has a weakened immune condition? That's asking a lot with the amount of time we have with patients these days. So you should volunteer that to your doc. Say, hey, doc, I only had one dose, and my kid's got leukemia, and should I get a second dose? And that's a great point to make.
All right. And let me ask you, what does measles do to the body? I mean, what if you get measles, what is actually going on?
So it's a generalized viral infection. It's really probably every cubic millimeter of your body's got measles virus growing away. And our reaction to it actually is what produces that rash. We're trying to kill it. The complications, there's two big complications, death and encephalitis. And the death is just an
overwhelming. Those are the complications. Infection. So those don't always happen, but they can happen.
Yeah. Oh, no. So
death
so in the U.S., we figure at least 1 per 1,000, maybe 2 per 1,000 will be dead from measles. And another one will have encephalitis. And encephalitis is brain infection. And that very often is left. Leaves permanent residua. If you're in the third world where nutrition is poor, It's probably more like 1 in 100 kids who get measles die. So it's a nasty illness. It's way nastier than mumps or rubella. They're nasty, but they don't kill you like measles does.
Okay. In terms of the protection, there was a lot of news this week about this cruise ship that was quarantined. I believe it was in Florida, and people were not being allowed off of it because there was one person with measles on the ship. Why would you do that? Is that something? I mean, why does that make sense? Or does it not make sense?
It was actually in Curacao. This was a Scientologist.
Of course, how, yeah.
Cruise ship. But Scientologists are not anti-vax, so that's not the issue. So if you're sitting there in Curacao and you haven't had a case of measles in your country in a long while, I don't know what the situation is in Curacao. We used to be measles free in this country. We were declared measles free in 2000. I don't know if we're going to maintain that status. If you are measles free in Curacao and a cruise ship lands with one case and 800 people want to get off and wander around, I can understand why you want to keep them until an incubation period goes by.
And what do you mean by incubation period?
So you don't get measles the first minute you get exposed to the virus. It takes 10 to 14 days before you get sick. I'm sure they quarantined that person as soon as they figured it out. But from the last moment that person was wandering around the ship until 14 days later, you don't know if any of those shipmates are going to come down with measles, and you really don't want them wandering around your city.
Okay. So in other words, somebody is sick on this cruise ship, and it's a Monday, and they're diagnosed with measles. You have to wait 14 days.
Yeah. So if I were, I don't know what was going on there exactly.
Right.
But if I were doing it, I'd say, okay, you can get off the ship if you can prove you've had a dose of measles vaccine or two doses. I don't know what the standard would be. Maybe two doses in this situation. Get off the ship if you can get some records faxed to you that proves you had two doses of vaccine.
Okay.
You can get off the ship. But if you're exposed and under vaccinated or unvaccinated, you got to stay on the ship until I'm pretty sure you're not going to come down with measles.
Right. And so let's say you're and you can just be exposed by walking by somebody, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why this is so dangerous.
So these are true airborne infections. A lot of times we think of colds and the like as being airborne. They're really not. They're large drops. You cough on somebody. These drops only go a couple meters from your mouth and they fall to the ground. Measles is true airborne. If a kid is in the waiting room with measles, kid leaves the room, half an hour later you go into that room, you could get measles because
that's,
it stays in the air.
I mean, think about that. Half an hour later you go into the same room and you can get it because it's still in the air. So let me ask you about this incubation period again. So you're exposed and any time between the day that you're exposed and the moment you're exposed, you've got 14 days for which the measles might manifest themselves?
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yep. And that's an intriguing issue as well, which nobody really mentions because it's so rare. But if you got exposed and had never been vaccinated, if you were exposed yesterday, I would try to vaccinate you right now because the vaccine produces antibodies within about 7 days. Natural illness doesn't arise until about 10 days. So if you're in the first 3 days after an exposure and you're totally vulnerable, you can actually beat the virus to with the vaccine. The vaccine
right.
will produce immunity faster than the disease will arise.
Right. And, you know, in terms of the anti-vax movement, I don't know if people realize, and I'm not sure that we in the media are doing a good enough job in reporting on this movement. And there's some thought, well, you don't want to report on it because, you know, all the scientific evidence says that it's, you know, these people are, this is wrong. This is just factually wrong. But I was over at the Capitol. There was actually a measure to restrict, people's abilities to opt out of vaccines. And there was a huge protest, an enormous protest. Hundreds of people were there with their kids, with their families, all anti-vaxxers. And, you know, it just made me realize this is not a small number of people who feel this way.
So it is is a small number, but they're very it's not a lot in terms of the percent of the population, but you get them all in one room, pretty unhappy. It seems like a lot of people.
But, well, it does seem like a lot of people, and I guess, and you're right, of course, that percentage wise, it's not, but it's. They're not going away, and I think that they use social media to keep themselves together and to get their word out or whatever. That's why, as I said, this protest was a significant protest, and the person that bill went nowhere because
So the bill was one that would keep you from using the personal or religious or philosophical exemption to get your kids into school right now. We ask that for school entrance, the kid be vaccinated. But if you say, I think my God thinks this is a bad idea, you get a pass. Your kid gets in without vaccination. Or you can say, I'm philosophically against it. Your kid gets in. And that's pretty easy to do, and there's no argument. So in any vax movement can get a lot of unvaccinated kids into school with that pass. California and Oregon have removed the philosophical and religious objection as a way of getting your kid into school without being vaccinated. That bill would have done the same thing. It went nowhere.
Right. And let me ask you this. There are a lot of people there are people who are giving their children vaccines now, but they're delaying them. In other words, they are doing one dose or they're not doing, the regimen. I think I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. They're saying, I've a mother. I remember having a newborn, and suddenly this little thing is being injected with all this stuff, and you're like, "Gosh, is this really right to do?" But there are people who are delaying this, and I'm hearing from medical professionals that is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. So. You want kids vaccinated as soon as they can benefit from vaccine. You want to get the vaccine to them. You want to get them immune fast. And these regimens are totally out of the air. Nobody studied them. Nobody has any information that they're doing any good, that the schedule is reasonable. The stuff in vaccine stuff is so studied in such excruciating detail. It's probably the arena of medicine that has the most rigorous study. That's actually probably a good thing the vaccines have done. They made the vaccine community so conservative and go to such lengths to study each little tiny variant. And so the regimens that are advocated have been studied to death.
Right.
And to just say, I'd rather give it in some other schedule, which nobody's ever studied, that's just insane.
Right. Well, listen, Dr. Frank Rehm, with Allina Health Clinic's infectious disease specialist, I defer to the medical professionals when it comes to myself and my family and my teenagers now. So thank you so much. I think this is, important information, obviously. A lot of people concerned about this. We appreciate your time this evening.
I appreciate the opportunity to rant a little bit. Thanks.
Absolutely. No, you are the professional. You're the expert. And I think it's important. I personally feel it's important to listen to people like you. I put my trust in people like you. And
so I get my car fixed by somebody who knows way more than I do.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to News Talk 830. It is 7:56 in the Twin Cities. Esme Murphy with you through 9 o'clock. Great to be with you on a Saturday evening. So nice that it was such a great day out today, and so cool that Garth Brooks is here, and there are so many people enjoying that concert again tonight. It was fun kind of walking in here as I was sharing with our producer Devin. Just people were just in their cowboy boots, and you would have thought you were in Texas if you're wandering around Minneapolis tonight. It's kind of neat. Want to let you know to please tune in to WCCO TV Sunday morning, 6 a.m., 10:30 a.m. Mike Gustinak and I will be there with all the latest news and weather. Want to tell you about our 10:30 a.m. show. I think this is going to be really interesting. Tina Smith, of course, is our United States Senator, and she went public this past week with the fact that she has struggled with depression. And I first of all want to say I think that's just amazing, because I think putting it out there like that helps other people. But she's going to talk about that, and she's also going to talk about her continued push to get mental health funding for schools, as well as special education funding for schools. But she's going to talk about her own struggle. And also we're going to have House Speaker Melissa Hortman. She's going to talk about what is going on at the legislature. Can they get it done? I can't wait to hear about that because I'm going to be covering it all this week for WCCO TV. So keep it here. News Talk 830.